Hello, folks. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we talk hunting and wildlife with DNR wildlife biologist Josh Siegel. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Find your perfect Can-Am ATV or side-by-side at Hayward Power Sports. The all-new 2023 Can-Am Outlander ATVs were redesigned with the rider in mind for unmatched fun and value. Hit the woods or trails with models starting at $5,999. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of a $500 rebate or 2.99% financing on select models. Looking for a side-by-side? The Can-Am Defender is the perfect utility side-by-side that's extra tough on the worksite, the ranch, or wherever you need to get the job done. Feel the adrenaline surge in the high-performance Can-Am Maverick, or get the best of work and play with the ultimate crossover, the Can-Am Commander. Claim the side-by-sides that fit your needs today and enjoy financing as low as 1.99% for 36 months on select models. Make every hunt a success, every trail ride an excitement-filled adventure, and make light work of your heavy-duty jobs, all with a brand-new Can-Am off-road vehicle from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Offer subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Today, anglers fish longer. Today, anglers fish harder. Today, anglers rely more than ever on their electronics. It all comes down to catching more fish, and today, anglers rely on Amped Outdoors lithium batteries, period. Visit ampedoutdoors.com today to power your outdoor experience.
We're recording this week down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, talking to Jarrett McCarthy. I'm here, and Jarrett, you know, the long wait for the gun deer season is over. They're here this weekend.
It is here, yep. We got a lot of people that are itching to get out in the woods and see if they can't bag their trophy buck.
You know, coming up to that, the last couple of weeks, the deer have been moving really hard. They were in the peak of the rut, and I got a chance to shoot a buck. I do with the crossbow, and there are a lot of deer out there.
Yeah, seen a lot of deer moving. Getting some guys that are coming in with their crossbow and their regular archery gear, seeing some nice bucks and a couple does coming in. But, yeah, sounds like we're kicking off the season the right way.
And you guys are pretty well equipped here for the crossbows and for the late part of the season and for the guys in the gun hunting season, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as far as crossbows go, you know, we work on any kind of crossbows here. We've got some new crossbows here yet. If you had anything happen with your strings or cables, usually it's a couple-day turnaround time so we can get you your gear back to you. And you still have hunting season. As far as gun season, you know, we're fairly well loaded with all kinds of ammunition and all your little parts and pieces that you're going to need. So we've got it here for you.
Let's talk a little bit about the fishing. I mean, we're not at the ice fishing yet. I don't know when we're going to get that first ice fishing, but the guys out there musky fishing still, and there's other guys fishing walleyes too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is the time of year to really fish them right now. Everything's starting to move up shallow, and they'll kind of be that way throughout early ice or what have you, but we kind of have some unique weather this week before deer season. We got some nicer weather, but we see some cold right around the way. It looks like we might have some kind of ice towards tail end of deer season, but some really good opportunities out there, whether you're getting out on skinny ice or the last little bit of open water here.
And let's talk a little bit about how you ran into some guys out there walleye fishing yesterday when I was out yet. So
yep. So, you know, like we were saying earlier, it sounds like most of the walleyes are starting to come up shallow. I'm guessing a lot of guys, you know, they're fishing live bait, and when we get to those primetime hours, those fish are probably out hitting jerk baits or what have you, just like they are in the spring. But, you know, live bait is going to be key all the way through ice.
You know, panfish too. I mean, crappies, and it's actually a good time to get out there and kind of figure out where those fish are, because they'll be there for the next few weeks, even after ice up.
Absolutely. You know, you've got some crappies that are going to be, you know, roaming that weed line in shallow or what have you. Crappies and bluegills are going to be feeding on that That last little bit of plankton and bugs and what have you in the shallows, and then you've got a big portion of those crappies that are going to move out to main lake basin areas. And if you can get out there in a boat and find them right now, they're going to be, you know, in the, maybe not the same spot, but adjacent to that, you know, in that same area, because they'll school up pretty big out there, and they'll be pretty easy to find.
You know, and you guys are geared up here. You've got just about everything, like we mentioned, for the hunting and for ice fishing. I know you're gearing up now. You're pretty much set up right now.
Yeah, we're, you know, 99% set up. You know, we've got all your tip-ups, augers, shacks, you know, everything that you could possibly need for the coming ice season. Hopefully we have a good one.
And it looks like from standing here looking, you've got the best selection of shacks I've seen for a long time, just about any place.
Absolutely. If you're looking for a one-man, two-man, whatever kind of shack you're looking for, we've got clam, otter, Eskimo, Frabel. So we've got a little bit of everything here for you.
A lot of the newer insulated ones, too, I see you have.
Yeah, they are really, really nice. They'll sure keep you warm this year.
You bet. And is there anything special as far as price going on? I know you did have some deals going on augers and stuff.
Yeah, we still got some deals going on with augers right now. We got some really low prices. Definitely something to stop in and take a look at. And, you know, shack-wise, too, you know, you're stopping in, you're grabbing a shack, it's already put together for you. All you got to do is put in back your truck and go out fishing. No extra charge for the assembly. You just go fishing in it.
And as a pan fisherman, I know you'd like to panfish a lot, especially in the wintertime. Anything new out there as far as lures or equipment that's really caught your eye?
There's been a few clam lures that are coming out there. You know, I've been watching a couple of shows, and if you haven't taken the opportunity yet, go out and watch Crappie Chronicles. They use a lot of new baits out there. They do a lot of fish for crappies, you know, in Wisconsin, Minnesota. They just did a program up on Upper Red Lake, you know, that crappie boom is starting to come back. But clams had a couple of baits out there. I think it's called the Tick of Flash. It's kind of like a smaller minnow bait with a blade on the end of it. You know, a couple odds and ends jigs out there, RBM jigs, you know, they kind of took that Wonder Bread pattern to the next level. And, you know, we'll have a couple of those and, you know, patterns available in the shop once they stop by with their gear. But, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff out there that'll work. It's just finding the fish first.
You know, and you mentioned that Tika, you know, that's one of the hard baits, more like a jig and wrap type bait. That's one thing I don't see a lot of people panfish. It's usually like a teardrop jig or a tungsten jig with some kind of plastic on their gulp. But, you know, I've done really good with like little tiny jigging spoons and with smaller jigging type baits like the Tika, or I've got the Tikas, but also this tiny puppet minnows and some of those. Those are phenomenal in the wintertime, actually.
Absolutely, and you don't even need to start that small. You know, when I'm going on the ice, I'm usually looking for the most aggressive fish right away. So I'm running a number 3 and number 4 ripping wraps. You know, I'm running 1/8-ounce slender spoons to really get down there and start hammering on some of these bigger fish. And then once those aggressive fish come out of the school, then I'm going to switch over to a jig and a waxy or a jig and a plastic or what have you. You know, trying to stay away from live bait as much as possible because, you know, there's a good chunk of time throughout the winter where you really don't even need live bait. You know, plastics are going to do you just fine out there, and you're going to keep your hands a lot warmer. But, you know, think big when you're going out for crappies, and, you know, even those bigger bluegills will hit some of those smaller spoons. So, you know, make sure you've got a variety of different size baits in your box, too, because some of those bigger baits in there, they'll deter a lot of those smaller fish that you're really not looking to catch there, too.
So, anyway, you guys got all that equipment and information if they need it for some spots on whatever people just stop by. You like to talk fishing, nothing else.
Oh, we love to talk fishing. Definitely stop on by and see what we've got to offer.
Thanks, Jared.
Thanks, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. And when we come back, we'll be talking to our local DNR wildlife biologist, Josh Siegel. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of fall musky, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also have a great selection of ammunition, scents, hunting supplies, and much more. Gear up for the fall at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Get the deal of a lifetime on a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Truth is, our 2023s arrived late and we missed out on early season sales. So we have a huge inventory of them, but desperately need to make room for the 2024s. It's the perfect storm for incredible deals. From the entry-level Lund Adventure to the awesome Lund Impact XS and everything in between. They're all rigged with Mercury outboards and offered at blowout prices. Get your new Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, with the hunting seasons and our gun deer season now underway, I had a chance the other day to talk to our local wildlife biologist from the DNR, Josh Siegel.
Good to have you on here, Josh.
Yeah, thanks, John. Appreciate you stopping by.
Well, you know, as it's airing, it's opening deer season, gun deer season, and we've had the archery season going on for a while now, and been some nice deer taken, but I think they got into that peak of that rut about a week or so before the gun season.
Yeah, it's been kind of an interesting rut here. Weather's been up and down a little bit. We've had some snaps where it's warmed up and cooled down. Still seeing a lot of deer chasing. Might be a little bit more elongated, but yeah, there's definitely been some gaps where activity slowed down too, so.
You know, we're recording this a week ahead of time, but your prediction, do you think we're going to see some rut activity going on into the gun season?
Yeah, I think definitely in places. It's not going to be hot and heavy like you'd see during the burrow season, but they're going to tail down a little bit here, but we should see some rutting activity. I think the weather is going to be the more interesting part than the actual deer activity itself.
Yeah, it doesn't look like we're going to have much snow on the ground, if any at all, and that always makes things a lot harder. I know I got a buck the other day, a week or so ago, and you know, I couldn't get the deer to recover until the next morning because I couldn't follow the blood trail. It was raining, and it was just hard to get.
Yeah, and I think the bigger thing this year, definitely not going to have snow. We'll have the opposite. You know, we're talking almost 50 degrees opening weekend. That's going to depress midday deer activity. So if you're going to be out in the stand there, I'm definitely going to say look in the early morning, late evening hours. With opening weekend being a little bit warmer, but still catching some of the rut, there'll be some midday activity, but not like cold weather days where the deer have to create their own heat sources either. Yeah.
What can people expect for bucks out there as far as the number of bucks? Are you seeing a lot of bucks?
Yeah, I think it's up and down. I think it kind of follows a lot of the deer population here in Sawyer County and in places where there's really good deer habitat. We're going to see, you know, decent numbers of mature bucks. Been seeing a lot of young bucks on the landscape as well. So I think they're healthy, but there are places of the county where the habitat isn't quite as nice, isn't quite as preferred. And we see that in a reflection of the deer numbers too. They're a little bit down in some of those places, but mature bucks, I do think with last year's winter impacts, the antler sizes are a little bit depressed this year. There's still some nice bucks running around, but probably not like it was 2 years ago where the deer were coming out of a mild winter and everything went into antler growth. They did have recovery period this summer where a lot of their energy, you know, the minerals, nutrients, etc. on the landscape were going to that body recovery before antler growth first this year.
You know, speaking of antler growth, do you think that, you know, some of that is genetic? Maybe some deer will never grow a lot of antlers? Because I know the one that I shot here with the crossbow, I passed on him a year ago, and he pretty much didn't grow much since then. He was still a little fork, basically, horn six-pointer, but I think some of the deer maybe genetically don't grow big antlers.
Yeah, there's genetics plays into a lot of that too. You know, you look at typical versus non-typical and total length of antlers, you know, whether it's tine, main beam, spread, etc. It's kind of a combination of all that. You know, genetics is going to be that cream of the crop. You know, if they've got great genetics, they're going to end up with good antler growth even in poor years, and vice versa. Some of those deer that maybe they have poor genetics, you know, even in great years, they might be a really big six or something like that. So it's going to be a combination. I think the you know, that recovery period is going to be whether or not that animal produces at its highest capacity for the genetics that that deer does have. So, yes, definitely a big player in that as well.
You know, there's a lot into it, and I think the winders, you know, make them grow more body-wise than antler-wise. It seems like they have to grow some. The northern deer are definitely bigger than body-wise than the southern deer, seems like.
Yeah, and I've been seeing that personally, too. You know, whether it's driving around for work, out in the woods, or hunting personally. Phenomenal body size. You know, it looks like our deer have recovered very well from last winter. But again, the antlers are depressed a little bit, and you know, maybe that big 200 pound body makes the antlers look a little bit smaller on top of them, even though they are decent.
Well, I know some of the guys, I see pictures of some of the deer down south, like Texas and stuff, the body size is little compared to the antlers, but maybe the antlers really ain't that big.
Right. Yeah, no, and it is something, you know, you look at the deer we have up here, even some of the yearling deer, they've got to put on that body mass to make it through winter. You know, that's one of the big things, even from northern Wisconsin to southern Wisconsin, is the winter's that much harder, so they build up their muscle and fat reserves going into winter, and then every spring, summer, and fall, that's where that recovery period comes back in preparation for the next winter.
You know, I've spent a lot of time watching deer from a deer stand, and you know, the interesting thing to me is that there seems to be a major difference between a buck and a doe, even from fawn size. The does don't seem to be quite as skittish or aware. The bucks seem to be more aware of everything. Am I looking at that something if this goes on, actually?
Yeah, and I think some of it is the type of deer. You know, you do get that that big mature doe that she knows, you know, everything that's happening on the landscape, but maybe everyone else in the family group is kind of relying on her to alert and all that. But, you know, especially the bucks, you know, if they're running a hot doe or something, a doe that's in estrus, they're pretty much focused on her. But if they're running new areas, you know, especially those mature bucks, they're extremely keen. They're smelling every little branch as they're moving through. They're making sure that they're safe because they're, you know, there's a reason they made it to that mature status, and they're smart. On top of that, they spend most of their year in kind of their, you know, their winter summer range, and, you know, being the tail end of the rut coming up here with the start of gun deer season, they might still be venturing areas that are a little bit more unknown to them, where those does have home ranges. That's their backyard. They travel there regularly, where some of these bucks might be 10 miles away from where they kind of overwinter, over summer type place. So they're a little bit more skittish as they're skirting through the landscape. Yeah.
I noticed that buck that I got to hear, that was he come in downwind. I was downwind from him, and he came in on estrus scent. I mean, just right in on it, and it was kind of funny because he got in there within 20 yards of me, and I was like, man, maybe I won't shoot him, and he all of a sudden kind of winded me, and then he backed off real quick, and he stood there with his nose up in the air, but it wasn't very long, and he's standing there, and then the Esther set overrode that, so he came back around a little farther out, but I managed to get a shot at him. But,
sure.
You know, it seems like when they get into that peak of that rut, people say they get dumb. They don't get dumb, but they just got one thing on the brain.
Yeah, no, you're right with that, and that's the peak of the breeding season. You know, you're hoping to get, you know, right in tight, right in with the kitchen sink, per se, and get on top of these animals, and this is the time of year where they are more vulnerable. You know, they, like you said, they're focused on the breeding, and you create that scent, and it's no different than it might be waterfowl, you know, calling to some ducks or something. They hear what they think to be other animals. You know, this deer, it smelt what it thought to be a doe, which is his target for this time of year. So it's part of hunting and using that to our advantage.
Well, you know, and you're going to have to rely on a lot of that stuff this year because things have changed on the landscape as far as baiting and feeding, unless you have a food plot out there.
Yeah, yep. So here in the local area, you know, we do have a CWD baiting ban on that triggered here in October. So the local counties, Sawyer, Rusk, Barron, and Washburn, all triggered a baiting ban. But to be honest, from what I'm seeing, that's created more deer activity. You know, I think it's something where they're relying on their natural food patterns, corridors, travel, etc. And those deer are moving more like deer should be versus kind of that wait to go to a bait pile overnight type thing. And we're seeing deer act like deer should. That being said, you know, really focus on those food sources. This year has been a phenomenal year for acorn crop. You know, if you're in portions of the county, the eastern portions of Sawyer County, oak trees are a little bit more limited. If you do find some oak, you're going to see deer activity in those oaks. The western side of the county where oak is a little bit more prevalent, the deer may not move as far just because there's more oak on the landscape. So they can go from bedding areas to feeding areas in a shorter distance. You're still going to want to get in tight to those oak stands. But yeah, it should be a fun year if you have some food sources on the ground that, you know, those good natural food sources, you should be seeing deer.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with wildlife biologist Josh Siegel. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with wildlife biologist Josh Siegel.
You know, it was a no feeding thing too. The only big concern I might have is that we don't get another winter like last winter, because I think a lot of people feeding them is what got them through that winter.
Yes and no. I mean, there's the alternate food sources that were provided out there, but the other thing that really stood out with last winter, we had the heavy snowstorm and it knocked a lot of branches down, bent a lot of trees over. And if you walk through the woods, you know, let's say a 5-year-old aspen stand that all these young aspen poles were kind of sprung, all those treetops were chewed off. You know, they were butted off. So I think the amount of food that ended up in that browse range really increased, but it was still a difficult winter with the deep snow. We didn't have the cold temperatures to go with, so it was kind of one punch versus two for those deer. But the amount of forage that increased in that 6-foot browse range really improved with the early snow conditions.
Yeah, the one critter that amazed me that made it through was the turkey population. They seemed, I don't know, we must have lost a bunch of turkeys, but there seemed to be a lot of them.
Yeah, they bounced back really well. You know, obviously over the years of wildlife management here in northern Wisconsin, turkey have been one of those animals that were introduced and really took off. Even in years where we've seen seen turkeys really take it over winter, they've bounced back in the spring. Very resilient broods. They do very, very well. You know, and right there too, I'd say is the grouse. You know, we had fluffy snow over winter and they were able to snow roost, and seeing a lot of grouse in the woods too, you know, speaking with a lot of hunters, a lot of good opportunities. So I think those birds really did well last winter, especially not having the deep freezer-like cold conditions that you can see too.
Well, you mentioned the grouse, and you know that's the interesting point there, because I've run into guys from down in Tennessee and guys up here in northern Minnesota, and a lot of them are suspicious that the turkey populations impacted the grouse populations.
Yeah, and that's not really something that we've seen a strong correlation to. It's more the points of the cycle with the grouse population that go up and down. You know, we've had years where those really cold, wet springs really impact grouse. You know, they don't re-nest quite as efficiently as turkey do. You know, we see that with our turkey brood sizes. They're huge. You know, you could see somewhere between 8 and 10 poults with a hen, or you know, up to 15 to 20 with two hens kind of paired up. Where our grouse, you know, you're going to see a smaller chick born, kind of reared out there on the landscape more individually with mom. And if we get those cool, wet springs, that really has an impact on it. Now, the benefit to both of those birds the last couple years here specifically, we've had damp springs, but they've been warm damp springs. So the cold effect on them isn't been as strong.
You know, and as we wrap up here, I want to talk a little bit about that CWD thing. I mean, what triggered that? They found it within 10 miles of Sawyer County, Rusk County, and Barron County?
Right. Yep, so you're exactly right. There's a captive cervid farm in southeastern Washburn County that had a positive deer trigger in that. So what that did is it triggered a 3-year baiting ban response within the county of, so Washburn County, and then it triggered a 2-year baiting ban in the surrounding counties that were within 10 miles. So that triggered in Sawyer, Rusk, and Barron counties. That baiting ban went into effect October 5th, 2023. So in those three outlying counties, that'll be active until October 5th, 2025. Or October 5th, 2026 within Washburn County, unless another positive is found within those areas.
Well, I understand that deer was not actually, it was imported to that deer farm too.
Yeah, so and much like any deer farm, they're not from the local landscape. They might be bought, moved around from the state or whatever. They're allowed to do within the confines of DATCAP, but yes, that was a captive cervid deer, not a wild deer, yep.
And from what I understand, Minnesota now is totally different. They cannot import them from one farm to the other over there.
Yeah, and I can't comment on Minnesota's regulations. We don't have any bearing on that, so I'm not as up to date on that. But yeah, so the captive cervid world is handled by the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So the department works as an acting partner. The DNR, that is, works as an acting partner as we manage the wild deer. So that all goes through DATCAP versus the DNR.
But you've not found any outside of that deer farm right now?
Nope, not in the greater Sawyer County area. We don't have any wild positives. We are continuing to do our hunter service sampling. You know, we want to know what's on the landscape. So at the Hayward DNR office, the Winter DNR office, the Exlin Rod and Gun Club, and DJ's Mart in Stone Lake, we do have hunter service kiosks. If someone wants to sample their deer for CWD, we've got the self-service kits there. The heads will be picked up regularly a couple days a week. And the turnaround for sampling is usually about a week to 10 days time frame. You know, obviously with gun deer season, the volumes ahead goes way up. And then another thing that we are offering this year, again, in the greater Hayward and Winter area, are deer carcass dumpsters. So if a hunter wants to dispose of their deer carcass after a successful harvest, there is a dumpster located at both the Hayward and Winter DNR offices that those hunters can dispose of their carcasses.
A lot of good and interesting information there. I want to thank you for coming on here, Josh.
Yeah, thank you very much, John. Appreciate it, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me. I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.